We're going to turn our attention now to the Lord's Supper memorial. And I want to think about how that's really what it is. It's a memorial. It's something we do that reminds us about a wonderful event that took place many, many years ago. And this may sound strange, but nothing really happens when we partake of this memorial. And I hope I don't offend anyone by saying that, but what I mean is when we eat the bread, when we drink the cup, it's not like the moment we do that, our sins are taken away. There's nothing mystical or magical or, you know, that happens, that takes place. It's more of a mental thing. Now, that's not to say it's not a powerful, you know, or a deeply moving experience. It certainly should be. And a lot of that depends on how we approach the Lord's Supper. Memorials can be very powerful. They can be deeply moving. That's why we have memorials. And I want to think about three different memorials this morning, and then we'll kind of apply it to the Lord's Supper as well. Three memorials that can help us appreciate, really, the nature of a memorial and why human beings have memorials. What you're looking at there is a man who lived in Raleigh, North Carolina, and he made a promise to his father that if the Cubs ever made it to the World Series, they would listen to the baseball game together. And so after they won game six, even though he lived in Raleigh, he had to drive 9 hours to a small country cemetery outside of Indianapolis, Indiana, because he had promised his father that if the Cubs ever won the World Series, they would listen to the game together. And so he made that drive. And there you see him in the cemetery, late at night, with his cell phone, listening to the game, because he promised, he made a pledge. Amazing thing about this to me is that his father died in 1980. That pledge was over 36 years old. And it really says something about how people feel about sports, and maybe even more about how, you know, you love your father and the relationship between fathers and sons. But he kept that pledge, and he made that drive, and he was there when the Cubs finally won the World Series after, what was it, 108 years, I think. But a deeply meaningful moment to him. You know, and it's a lot like, I think, the Lord's Supper. Jesus asked us, we weren't there at the time, but he asked his disciples, you know, to do this. After I'm gone, I want you to do this. I want you to do this in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Jesus, the same night he was betrayed, he took bread. When he gave him thanks, broke it, he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. He said, do this. I want you to do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took the cup. He said, do this in remembrance of me. The night he was betrayed, he said, I want you to remember me. And Paul said in verse 26, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so we're showing our love for Jesus and remembering, you know, that very special thing that he did for us so that we could be saved from our sins. Here we are, you know, over 2,000 years later, but we're still honoring the request that Jesus made. I want you to remember me by observing this memorial. Okay, another memorial. How many of you know what that is? Main Street, Enterprise, Alabama. There's a monument to the boll weevil. A boll weevil is a nasty pest. And back in the 1800s, it came through and totally destroyed their economy by eating up the cotton crops. But what they discovered is maybe we'll grow something else. And they began to plant cotton and other. And as a result, they became more prosperous than they ever had been before. There's a monument, the boll weevil monument. And this is so funny to me, in profound appreciation of the boll weevil. And what it has done is the herald of prosperity. This monument was erected by the citizens of Enterprise, Coffee County, Alabama. And so there it is. They say it's the only monument dedicated to a bug. And so I know we all want to make a road trip, right, to Enterprise, Alabama. It's got to be on our bucket list. We've got to see the boll weevil memorial. You know, I was thinking about how, you know, that was a terrible event. Came through, ate up all their crops. But something good, and really something better came out of it. And that's so much like You know, so many stories in the Bible where bad things happen, but God uses it to bless them in a way they could not have anticipated or planned. And that's really what the cross is all about, what the Lord's Supper is all about. Horrible thing that took place when Jesus was crucified, the Son of God was killed, nailed to a cross. But actually, it's the most wonderful thing that ever happened. It's the most beautiful thing that ever happened. It's kind of, you know, tough to go through the Lord's Supper. I mean, it's horrible to think about Jesus dying on the cross, but it means so much to us. The fact that he died to save us from our sins. And so many memorials are remembering things that were bad, but things that we should never forget. A third memorial. Tomorrow, of course, we celebrate Martin Luther King Day in honor of the civil rights leader who was slain in 1968 in Memphis, Tennessee. You know, I really think this should be an especially meaningful Martin Luther King Day. At the end of the week, our first African-American president will complete, you know, two terms as president of the United States. And that, I think, is really at least part of a fulfillment of what Martin Luther King dreamed about, what he was really all about. But it's interesting, we celebrate this on Monday, like we do a lot of our holidays. We don't celebrate it on the day he was born. Does anyone happen to know what day Martin Luther King was born? What day of the week would it be, of this year? Does anyone know? We're celebrating it tomorrow, right? But which day was it, actually? Shouldn't we know that? It's today, right? Today is the actual birthday of Martin Luther King, but we celebrate it tomorrow. We do that with a lot of our holidays. It's like, you know, we want to remember you, we want to honor you, but we also want a long weekend. So with a lot of the minor holidays, that's what we do, right? You know, it's interesting. Jesus was not crucified on Sunday. He was crucified on Friday. This memorial also is a memorial that we celebrate on a day other than the day it happened. But we don't celebrate it on Sunday because we want a long weekend, do we? We celebrate on Sunday because that's the day that he rose from the grave. And I think that's a great lesson for us, that when we think about the horrible suffering that took place on Friday, we should never really view that without remembering what happened on Sunday. Maybe that's why God told us to do it on Sunday. Because it's the resurrection from the grave that really gives this memorial meaning. Jesus was victorious over Satan. He was raised from the dead to prove that he is the Son of God and to prove that our sins can be forgiven and that we too someday will be raised. And so the Lord's Supper is like Martin Luther King holiday in that sense. We celebrate it on a different day. But there's a very important reason why we do that. Let's all bow our heads now and let's give thanks for this memorial. Our dear God and Father in heaven, we humbly bow as we prepare to observe this sacred feast. And it's made up of very humble elements. That is true, but help us to see past the bread and the cup and remember what it all represents, your Son coming into this world and dying on the cross for our sins. Pray that we'll remember the great sacrifice that was made, and it will always be precious and close to our hearts. We ask you to be with everyone who's here this morning as we now partake of this bread. Help us to partake in a way that pleases you and honors him. In this we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.